Welcome to the first episode of our series on administering Azure Kubernetes Service, or, as we'll say throughout, AKS. Before we touch a single command, I want to hand you the one mental model that everything else in this course hangs off of. If you carry just this away today, you'll be in great shape. So let's take a walk through it together. Let's start with the word Kubernetes. Kubernetes is an open-source platform for running containers at scale. It automates deploying your applications, scaling them up and down, and keeping them healthy. It's powerful, but running it yourself is a lot of work, because you have to operate the brain of the cluster, patch it, keep it available, and so on. That's where AKS comes in. AKS is managed Kubernetes. The single most important idea is this. Azure runs the brain of the cluster for you, and you focus on your applications. I like to put it this way. AKS is Kubernetes, with the control plane rented, not owned. Hold on to that phrase because it leads straight into the big picture. An AKS cluster is divided into two halves. The first half is the control plane. The second half is the nodes. Let's take them one at a time. The control plane is the managed brain of the cluster, and it is run entirely by Azure. You never log into it, you never see its virtual machines, and you don't pay per virtual machine for it. Inside the control plane, there are a handful of components working together. There's the API server, which is the single front door to the cluster. Every request, whether it comes from your command line tool or from inside the cluster, goes through the API server. There's a key value store called etcd, which holds the entire state and configuration of the cluster. There's the scheduler, which watches for new pods that have no home yet and decides which node each one should run on. There's the controller manager, which runs control loops that constantly notice when reality drifts away from what you asked for, and nudge the cluster back into the desired state. And finally, there's the Cloud Controller Manager, which contains the Azure-specific logic, like wiring up load balancers and disks. Again, all of that is Azure's responsibility. Now the second half, the nodes. Nodes are the Azure virtual machines that actually run your applications. This is your data plane, the part you influence. You choose their size, how many there are, which operating system they run, and what gets scheduled onto them. On every node, there are three components you should know. There's the kubelet, which is the agent that makes sure the containers in each pod are actually running. There's the kubeproxy, which maintains the network rules on the node so that services work. And there's the container runtime, which on modern AKS is containered, and it's the piece that actually executes your containers. Here's a reassuring point. These node components and control plane components are identical to open source Kubernetes. AKS does not fork Kubernetes, it operates it. So everything you learn about vanilla Kubernetes carries over directly. Let's talk about how nodes are organized, because this matters a lot later. Nodes of the same configuration are grouped into node pools, and there are two kinds. System node pools host the critical cluster services, things like the cluster's internal DNS, that is, the domain name system service called core DNS. Every cluster has at least one system node pool. User node pools host your application pods. You add these to match your workloads. A good way to remember the difference. The system pool keeps the cluster alive, and the user pool keeps your app alive. You separate them so that a misbehaving application can't starve the core services and take down, say, cluster DNS for everyone. A quick but important detail. When you create a cluster in your resource group, AKS automatically creates a second, hidden resource group called the Node Resource Group. Its name starts with the letters MC. That hidden group holds the virtual machines, the scale sets, the disks, and the load balancers. The rule to remember is simple. Don't hand edit the resources in that group because AKS owns them. Inside a single cluster, resources are organized into namespaces, which are logical partitions. If you don't pick one, your work lands in the default namespace. There's a namespace called kubesystem that holds the AKS and Kubernetes system components, and you should not deploy your own apps there. There are a couple of others for internal bookkeeping, but default and kubesystem are the two you'll meet on day one. Now let's talk about the two operating models, because this is a choice you'll make. Both models use exactly the same Kubernetes concepts we just covered. What differs is how much day-to-day operation Azure does for you by default. The first model is AKS Automatic. This is the more fully managed experience. Azure pre-configures node management, scaling, security guardrails, and upgrades, all with production-ready defaults. Choose it when you want less platform management. The second model is AKS Standard. This is the more configurable experience that gives you direct control over node pools, scaling, networking, and operations. Choose it when you need custom operating patterns and deep tuning. The way I remember it, automatic means Azure holds the wheel, standard means you hold the wheel. Closely related is the pricing tier, and here's the thing that surprises people. The pricing tier buys you an availability guarantee for the API server, not compute. There are three tiers. The free tier has no financially backed guarantee, so it's for development, testing, and learning. The standard tier gives you 99.9% availability in a single zone and 99.95% across availability zones, and that's your minimum for production. The premium tier gives you 99.99% across zones, plus long-term support for older versions, and that's for mission-critical or extended support scenarios. So for anything real, use standard tier at least, because the free tier's control plane has no uptime guarantee. Let me zoom out to the shape of a real production cluster, just so you have the pattern in your head. In a production baseline, Azure manages the control plane and honors it per the service level agreement. Everything else is your responsibility to design and operate. That includes the networking, the node pools and their zones, the workloads and their configuration, the identity and access setup, and the day two concerns like monitoring, backup, cost, and upgrades. Production baselines tend to use a hub and spoke network, separate system and user node pools, managed identities instead of stored secrets, spreading across availability zones, and a networking mode that conserves IP addresses. Every one of those gets its own episode later, so don't worry about the details yet, just absorb the pattern. So let's bring it home. AKS equals managed Kubernetes. Azure operates the control plane, and you operate the nodes and everything on them. The control plane is the API server, the key value store, etcd, the scheduler, the controller manager, and the cloud controller manager. The nodes run the kubelet, the kube or proxy, and the container runtime containered. Node pools come in two flavors, system for cluster services and user for your apps. And there's a hidden node resource group that holds the actual virtual machines. AKS Automatic gives you maximum defaults and minimum operations, while AKS Standard gives you maximum control. And the pricing tier buys you the API server's uptime guarantee. Here's a quick way to test yourself while you keep walking. Which half does Azure fully manage and can you log into it? The control plane? And no, you cannot. Which component stores the cluster state? The key value store, etcd. Which node component actually starts your containers? The kubelet, working through containered. And if you need a production uptime guarantee across zones, which tier do you pick? Standard or premium? Everything in this whole course reduces to one question that I want you to ask yourself again and again. Who manages this, Azure or me? When the API server hiccups, that's the control plane. That's Azure's availability responsibility under the service level agreement. When a pod is stuck waiting, because no node has enough memory, that's the data plane. That's yours to fix by adding capacity or right-sizing the pod. Keep that split in your mind, and most AKS decisions become obvious. In the next episode, we make this concrete. We'll provision a real cluster from the command line, connect our tooling to it, and design system and user node pools with the settings that you can't change later. I'll see you there.